and why he said what he said. Brother James and Loretta Fox are here, and we haven't seen each other for 40 years, and we're all here. That's amazing. And we worked together for a little while, and then we left him high and dry, and it was a hard work. He moved into a hornet's nest in Peoria, Illinois, after a big division and split in that congregation. And he helped to save it, working together. And I'll forever hold him and Loretta dear to my heart because of that good work they did. And it hurt us to leave you all. But we moved on, and here we are tonight. And others of you that we could call out, and would just love to take the time to do that. But I just wanted to embarrass these two in front of you all tonight. Turn in your Old Testaments to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17. As you're turning there, chapter 15, you understand this is the chapter that Saul was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And you could stand right up in your pew and tell me what happened, couldn't you? In the next chapter, in chapter 16, David is anointed king, as more than likely a teenager. But that wasn't who Samuel saw, was it, that he thought ought to be king. Eliab, well, he's the good-looking one, tall, handsome. But God said, remember this, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Does he still look on the heart today? Does he care about your or my outward appearance? And you know, sometimes we spend more time on our outward appearance than we do the inward. And we need to be teaching our children that, don't we? Oh, people say, clothes make the man. Really? Is that what makes the man? That may be the world's view, but that's not the Lord's, is it? Whether male or female. But we need to get past chapters 15 and 16 into chapter 17. Again, as we mentioned the other night, that as Paul Harvey would say, you know the rest of the story. I'm not going to tell you anything new tonight. But I want you to feel like you've been through this battle with David. As we read the context here, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together in Socoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Socoh and Azekah and Ephes Damim. That word means boundary of blood because there were so many battles fought in this area, and a very appropriate name. And Saul, verse 2, and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. Have you got that picture? That's words give you an 8x10 glossy of that scene. You can see the armies on both hills. The Philistines and the Israelites. And as the hill slopes, it has another little valley where there is a stream. So when you go down the valley, you have to climb down into the stream. And that will come into play in just a little bit. Verse 4, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, Goliath of Gath. Can't you see a wrestler today promoting this? Goliath of Gath. You know, huge. There used to be Andre the Giant. I think he was, 7 feet tall? Somewhat close to that. But he's dead now as well. Goliath of Gath. We see the size of the challenge. The Bible tells us just how big this man was, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now that means nothing to me. He could have been this tall. I don't know, you know, if you don't know what those dimensions are. But scholars tell us that at his tallest, he was 10 feet 4 inches tall. And more than likely, at his shortest, he was 9 feet 6 inches. Now, that's about that far below a basketball rim. So if he went up on his tiptoes, he didn't have to get off the ground, you see. There is a cutout of Goliath in the first classroom on the right. Do yourself a service and go back there and stand by it. If you have your camera, have somebody take your picture with it. And it says more about this man. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head. Scholars tell us again that that probably weighed around 15 pounds. Big head, big helmet. And he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 500 shekels of brass. 200 pounds in our weight. Anybody want to put a coat on that weighs 200 pounds tonight? Somebody's going to have to help you up, aren't they? And then you're going out in battle. This man was not just big. He was mobile, agile, and hostile, wasn't he? He was not just a big, clumsy ox. We had a fella in high school. He was tall. One of the tallest boys in our school. But he wasn't very mobile. He was very clumsy. Everybody wanted him to be a basketball player, and they tried. But he wasn't a champion. They worked and worked with him. With his height, oh, he could be anything. But this man was their champion. They didn't just stand him up and dress him up and send him out there. He was the best they had. Verse 6, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and this would be shaped around his legs here, around his shins, to his ankles to cover that area so he could not be hurt by being hit low. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. In our weights, 25 pounds. Okay, you've got a spear, you've got a long little tree trunk here in your hands, and on the end of that is something that weighs 25 pounds, and you try lifting that up and making a weapon out of it. Be more likely to fall on somebody and hurt them. And one bearing a shield went before him. And a lot of the pictures that you see of David and Goliath, you will not see this man with the shield. Now, this is not one of this Captain America shields. This is a full body shield. And this man was standing in front of Goliath. How in the world does anybody get to him? Protected from head to toe and by armor. And not only that, there's a man with a shield protecting him. That's the size of the challenge of the Israelites. Verse 8, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them. How do you think he said that? What I'm about to read. Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me. We'll have man to man, mano a mano fight. We're going to fight. If he be able to fight with me, if I'm Goliath, my pride is getting the best of me. And when I'm making this statement, if he's be able to fight and defeat me, I'm looking back at my compadres and yeah, that ain't going to happen. We'll fight man to man. Then will we be your servants if he beats me. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And you know that's what's going to happen. Whoever you send. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. You know how the Israelites felt about it? Next verse tells us. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Have you ever said, when that happened to me, I was terrified? Sometimes you've been afraid. Somebody jump scare you and scare you. Have you ever been terrified? Think back. Israel, the whole army, all the brave soldiers, they saw this giant of a man, and they were terrified. Now we have, beginning of verse 12, a little commercial break. We go back to the farm. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. Again, scholars tell us he was about 60 years old. Oh, to be 60 again. To me, that's a young man. It depends on which direction you're looking at it. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of the 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. Actually, the Hebrews would pronounce David's name David. It is a very popular name. I think it's mentioned 10 times in the New Testament, at least. Several times. Verse 15, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Why was he with Saul? He was in the palace. He was playing music for Saul to calm his nerves, because the Lord had sent him an evil spirit. Actually, it was Saul's own doing. And the Philistine, verse 16, drew near morning and evening and presented him 40 days. And he said the same thing over and over again. You find somebody to fight me, he beats me, then we'll be yours. But if I beat him, you're our servants. Day and night for 40 days. Do you see anybody volunteering from the Israelite camp? Running up to Saul, I think I can beat him. I don't know if Israel had a champion or not, but you know what? I think I'd have called in sick. You know, I'd like to go out there and fight him, but I've come down. I got some back trouble. Some of us know what that's all about. You think about fighting him. What chance do you have? They're going to bury you. And Jesse said to David, verse 17, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry, verse 18, these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. I want you to find out how they're doing. When our son was in Iraq, we wanted to know how he was doing. We're blessed to be able to be in contact with him and to see him and to talk with him. What a blessing. They didn't have that. And families fed their soldiers. They brought food to their men. Jesse said, I want to know how they're doing, and I want you to tell me. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. That is, they were preparing to fight. And David rose up early. Underline that, will you? David has been taking care of the sheep. He went from the palace to the field of the shepherd. And when his father asked him to do something, he did not whine, he did not complain. But, Dad, I don't want to go. He didn't know what was going on in this valley, did he? But he's going to find out. But notice what he did. He rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. He was a responsible young man. He didn't just leave the sheep. He found somebody to take care of them. We need young people like this, who are given jobs and chores that they can do. W-O-R-K. You're doing your children a real disservice when you do not teach them to work. If you do not teach them to work, you will teach them to steal. They need to know how to sweat. But, Mom, I would not have dared open my mouth to my mother or my dad. My mother had a keen switch. You too, don't you remember that? Hanging off the top of the refrigerator. And she could reach that switch from any room in the house. It just, she reached up and there it was. And you know who went out and got that? I think I told you earlier. We had to go out and get our own switch. And if it wasn't strong enough, we had to go back again. We did. You know, Zorro wasn't the first thing that went. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. You ever hear a keen switch go through the air? Ooh-wee. You learn real fast. Conditioned response. You do not smart off to your mother or your father. When you're asked to do something, you do it. There's no stomping off and no door slamming. Because I didn't get my way. David got up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded. He took the material that Jesse had told him to take, and he went as Jesse had commanded, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. That should have been a happy reunion, like Joseph should have been a happy reunion when he found his brother 70 miles from home. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion. There's the second time he's called a champion. The Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. This was his first time. You find somebody to fight me, he wins, we're yours, I win, you're ours. Verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. How'd you like to be in that army? Ain't no way we're going to win this contest. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. That's an incentive. For over a month this is being going on, and nobody says, this is going to be worth it, all this incentive. I'm going to be filthy rich, I'm going to be dead. And the only ones going to benefit are the Philistines. I'm not going to get the money, I'm not going to get his daughter. My family's not going to be tax-free because I'm going to die out there. No amount of incentive was going to get somebody to go. And David, verse 26, spake to the men that stood by him, saying, you know, I might have asked the same thing. What shall be done to this man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now, that's what Saul should have said, isn't it? Amen. He stood head and shoulders above all of his men, but now he has turned coward. And they all ran, even after 5 weeks of this more and more going on, of morning and evening, come out and fight me. They're still scared to death. So David asks again, what will happen to the man? Verse 27, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Yes, sir, you will be filthy, stinking rich. You will marry the king's daughter, and your whole family will be tax-free. Wow, how'd you like that? You have to weigh it in the balance, wouldn't you? Now, verse 28. Eliab, the oldest brother, one of the cowards in the army, heard when he spake unto the men. He was right there. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep? Now that was a slam, wasn't it?
Little boy, you just run on back home and take care of Daddy's little bitty group of sheep that he left you in charge of. See, when you get to doing the Lord's work, you're going to run into trouble that you didn't expect. From people that you would not expect it to come. Your own brother. Because Eliab and his other two brothers were afraid, and now David's making them look bad. So now Eliab's got to make David look bad to cover his trail. Get back home and take care of those few sheep. I know thy pride. Well, who's the one with the pride now? And the naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. You know, when we, back in the 50s, we used to go to the racetrack every Sunday. A quarter mile racetrack, dirt, everywhere. Some of us remember. And you know what we wanted to see? Not only them going around and around, but we want to see a crash. Not so much the blood. But we want to see some excitement. And Eliab said, that's what you've come down for. You just come down to see the battle. Now you just run along on home where Daddy is. And David said, what have I done? Don't I have a reason to ask this? Have I done wrong? According to Eliab, yet. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. So David hears it the third time. Here's the incentive program that Saul has laid out. Filthy rich, marry the king's daughter, and no taxes for all of your family. 31, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. Okay, you see what's going on? Here's one little boy. David wasn't that big. He was a young man, not even over 20. And so he's talking to the soldiers, and does this spread through the camp? Yes, and it goes to Saul. It goes to the king. We've got somebody out there that says he wants to fight this guy. Oh, me. So Saul sent for him, verse 32, and David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Don't you all be afraid anymore, because I'm going to take care of this situation. You like that confidence? Would you like to have that confidence when you go meet the foe today? Do we have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Do we need to use the truth or keep it within these four walls? We've been trying to impress that upon us this week. To get the truth out of here and into the hearts and the minds of those that need to hear it. Verse 33, and Saul said to David, you can't do this. You're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a kid. And he, a man of war from his youth. That's all he's been doing all of his life, and you've not been trained in war. You're a shepherd boy. And David said, yeah, you're right. I guess I better go on back to those few sheep. No, that's not what he said. Did you know when Eliab was trying to run him down, you know he could have fought the battle with Eliab? Yes, I can. No, you can't. Yes, I can. David chose the battle, didn't he? And Saul, the king, says, you can't do this. You're too young. And this guy is a professional soldier all of his life. David's response, 34, and David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I sat there and watched him take away. Is that what he did? Ebenezer, what? Daddy's not going to miss that little sheep. And if I go out there and I get killed, they all could be destroyed. That sounds like good logic, doesn't it? Sure. Now you run along, little lion, little bear. I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him, that is the lion, by his beard, and smote and slew him. You know, David said in Psalm 23, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod was used as a weapon. And I personally think, reading between the lines, that David had already used his sling on this lion and bear. You ought to Google and read about a sling and the damage that it can do. I see what it can do to a baseball player when the baseball is thrown 100 miles an hour and hits a fellow in the hand. And that with a helmet on. Reading an article the other day that about this sling, the rock in the sling is faster than a speeding bullet. No way to duck. It's just too quick when you're in close. 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. God is not on this Philistine side. God is on David's side, and David had already proven that. Now let me tell you, young people, all of us that are any age at all, we faced our lions and our bears, haven't we? How did you do? How did you do when you faced the lions and the bears? Did you back away? Oh, we might have said, boy, if I'd have been in that army, and I'd have done just like David. Okay, what do you do with the temptations that you face today when they come upon you in high school or at work? What do you do when there is a challenge to your faith? Do you stand up? Do you take the word of God that you put into your heart, Psalm 119, verse 11, and you use it? You use your sling? That's what we need to do. We need to get the word out. We need to know, let people know we are here to stay. We are not afraid of you. Say what you will. Make fun of the truth. But you cannot hurt me. And Jesus said in Matthew 10, don't you worry about what people say or do to you. We need to be more concerned about God. Isn't that what God said to Jeremiah? Don't you be afraid of their faces. They're going to be ugly. They're going to be mean. He had the truth, and he spoke it, and he continued to. And this is the way we need to be. Verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. I think David made a speech of his own, didn't he? Saul tried to convince David he couldn't, but David convinced Saul, oh, yes, I can. This young man. We've got some young preachers coming up that I'm just amazed at the hours of study they've had to put in to put God's word into their heart. Getting up early or staying up late or somehow putting God's word in there. And are not afraid or not ashamed to hold it up. And neither was David here. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. David tried, but he just couldn't do it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them, not tested them. And David put them off him. David said, I'm going to go with what I know. Okay? Saul was a 46 long and David was a 36 short. It's not going to work. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones. Somebody said, why did he choose 5? That's ammunition, isn't it? Gunfighters have to make sure they have plenty of bullets in their belt. Just don't go out there with 1 bullet. You go prepared. David went prepared.
and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You've got that pictured? So David has gone down the hill where the Israelite army was, down to the stream and picked up those five smooth stones, and then climbed up out of that little valley to go meet the foe. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. Listen to this. And the Philistine said, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves or with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Okay. Who's the boxer that bit the ear off of the fella? Somebody help me out. Remember that? Mike Tyson. Thank you. Let's suppose I fight Mike Tyson. The old preacher boy goes in the ring with Mike Tyson. Well, what's going to happen? There are going to be two hits, aren't there? Him hitting me and me hitting the floor. Is he going to run around the ring? "Look what I've done." Yeah, his fans are going to say, "Yeah, the little guy never had a chance. Never boxed a day in his life." And this is what Goliath is thinking. "So what if I beat you?" Embarrassing. Yeah, oh, big old Goliath. He beat that little kid. "You come with me with a stick?" Did David have something to say? Oh, yes, you've got to hear this. "Then said David to the Philistine, 'You come to me with a sword, with a shield, with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied.'" In other words, that's over. You're not going to do that again. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David said to Goliath, "I'm going to take your head off." What's he going to take it off with? The sling? Or the staff? Or the rod? We know, don't we? David said, "I'm going to cut your head off." Think the Philistines aren't listening to this? Yeah, come on, boy. Let's see this happen. He continues, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David. That is, he got down into a fighting position. Okay. You've made the challenge, and I'm going to end it, Goliath thinks. So he comes toward David. The Philistine arose and drew nigh unto David, and David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He ran at Goliath, running uphill towards him. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. I have here in my Bible Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Goliath's pride
He wasn't going to be beaten. He knew he wasn't going to be beaten. He thought he wasn't going to be beaten. But he was. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistine saw their champion was dead, they fled. Boy, did they run. We were at a basketball game a few years ago. There were 2 seconds left. 2 seconds left. The other team was ahead, and they were shooting a free throw. They were one point ahead of us with 2 seconds to go. So the free throw shooter was standing at the line, and the other four boys were shaking their hands at the half-court line. They were already, we got this in the bag. Well, the guy shooting the free throw shot, and the ball bounced off the rim, went clear over to the left-hand corner. And our 6'4" or 6'5" center ran over left-handed. Ready? He was left-handed. And he grabbed the ball. The clock started when he grabbed the ball. He threw it. And as it went half through the half court, the buzzer went off. And it went right through the net. And there was a death silence. Hundreds of people in that auditorium, that gymnasium. We couldn't believe we had won, and they couldn't believe they had lost. Can't you picture that here? The Israelites on this side of the hill thinking, oh, this is going to be a bloody mess. He's going to stick him with that spear and hold him up. And then, with about 1,000 pounds of armor and giant weight, fell on his face to the earth. And they ran. And Israel chased them. They got brave all of a sudden, didn't they? But what did it take? One man. There was one man in that camp, and it was David. Is there a man among us, a woman among us, that's able and willing to stand? When we meet the foe, you know what? They may come to your door. They may come to your door. You going to face them? You going to face them? You going to be ready? Have material ready? Have your Bible ready? And ask them questions? Did you know what? If they were coming tomorrow and you knew it, what would you do tonight? You'd be getting all the material you could into your head and into your Bible so you could face the enemy. That's what they are. They are the enemy. They're enemies of the church. They are blind leaders of the blind, and both shall fall into the ditch. We need to be busy about the Lord's work as Jesus was in his youth. How are we doing? I might say not very well, thank you. Are we turning and running when the enemy comes? My mother used to challenge these fellows when they'd come in, and boy, they left with their tail between their legs. They could not answer this 70-year-old woman's questions. She taught them every time they came around. They stopped coming around. I think they put a mark on our house. But it sure was fun to see. I grew up in a household like that. Awesome to see, faith building to see that kind of character, male or female. Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 14, bold leaders make bold followers. And that's what we need. That's what we need. To fill your, we ought to be like the little teapot, short and stout, tip me over and what? Pour me out. I'm so full of the gospel, you jostle me, I'm going to spill it on you. I'm not going to walk around a Bible study at work or wherever. I'm not going to back away from it. I'm going to get involved. And not to be a smart aleck, but just throw in my 2 cents worth. Did you ever think about this? Can you say it kindly?
Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. All of a sudden you'll be accused of just wanting to argue. And you can ask like David, what have I done? What have I done? Just quoted a scripture to you. And you know, there may be an honest heart in that group. And say, that's what I wanted to hear. I've been looking for this. How would you feel if you found somebody like that? Would you turn them away or say, we need to talk some more? I know what you'd do. Let's go out and let's find those people, okay? They may be our next door neighbor. They may be our co-worker. They may be our schoolmate. Some of our best personal workers at home are our school children. They're bringing their friends and their neighbors. And we all need to be doing the same thing. Won't it be wonderful there? David knew that. You want to go to heaven when you die? Preacher walked by a bunch of little boys one day sitting on some steps. And preacher said, stand up if you want to go to heaven. So all of them stood up with one little boy. And the preacher said, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? He said, oh, he said, I thought you were talking about right now. Yeah, when I die, but I thought you were going to go right now. Do you want to go right now? Or are you going to say, well, I've got a great-granddaughter, and I want to see what she becomes. I've got some grandchildren that are in college, and I want to see what they make of their life. You want to go to heaven now? If you really want to go, are you homesick for heaven? You'd say right now, I'm ready. Let's be ready to go. If you're not, if you've been challenged by the devil and he's won, then let's begin the fight back. Let's make that turn from the wrong way to the right way. Repent, as Peter told those Jews in Acts chapter 2. When they asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? They had heard the word, they had believed the word, and Peter said, you repent and you be baptized. If you've heard and you believe, you're willing to repent of your sins and be baptized into Christ. Won't you do it? Make it right now, friend, while we stand, while we sing.